This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to the podcast. And also thanks again to everyone who has left ratings and reviews of the podcast. If you haven't done so yet, if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it big time. It just helps us get the message out there of what we're trying to do here at the Kona Edge. It only takes you a couple of minutes and it helps us out big time. One thing I love about doing this podcast is I literally get to chat to triathletes from around the world. Last week, got to chat to someone from India, and today we're heading to Europe, and it's a great pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, also with a pretty cool story to share. It's a massive, massive Kona Edge. Welcome to Christian Haupt. We head to Hanover in Germany now, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Christian Haupt onto the podcast. Christian, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Nice to have you.
Thank you to be here. I'm very proud of it.
I'm sure you are, Christian. And just looking at your Kona 2016 results, so people know who you are. First in your age group, 40th overall, 39th in your sort of gender age group. You, Daniela Reif was the only female to beat you on the day. You must be pretty proud of your performance in Kona this year.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very proud of the performance. And I didn't expect it that I could be so fast. I thought about that I could reach 9:15. Yeah, and now it was exactly 9 hours and 35 seconds. That's a great result for me. And yeah, it was a perfect race. Yeah, but it was a very good race.
Looking at that time, 9 flat with 35 seconds, have you now post-race sat down and thought where you could have made those 35 seconds up so you could have gone under 9 hours?
Yeah, I didn't have a perfect race, so the 35 seconds would be anywhere. I missed it anywhere because I had some problems with my... with my chains, yeah, and I lost my bottle at the bike, so I think I could do the 35 seconds, but I think the conditions this year wasn't, they were okay, I think so, and when I will start there next year, I couldn't say, hey, I will do an 8:59. That would be no problem. Every race is different and it's very hard, and the conditions at Kona especially are very, very hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Christian, let's take a step back and let's just talk about you and how you got into the sport. Where did your love for triathlon start?
Yeah, I'm not so long in the triathlon business. I started at my fourth triathlon in 2013, just 3 years ago. The year before I was completely ill. I had a very hard and strong virus, so I couldn't train for 1 year. And the year before, in 2011, I just done duathlon, and this was my first year in duathlon, and it was successful. I couldn't think that could be so good. Yeah, I've started in the first time duathlon at the German Championships, and I've done the second place, but I hadn't a license, so I couldn't tell everybody that I'm the second, just unofficial. And in the autumn I could start at the duathlon world championships, and I were there at my second duathlon vice world champion at Gijón sprint distance.
That's amazing. Christian, growing up, I mean what sort of sports did you play growing up? Were you very active as a kid?
Yeah, I was very active as a kid, but just playing football, I was soccer. And when I was 14 years old, a friend of mine said to me, oh, You had great fun when you are going to Ireland and drive mountain bikes. So let us go mountain biking. And he took me with him. He gave me a bike, and she said, oh, it's no problem when you can't go this mountain here, because the most one that I know didn't come here up. And at my first time at his bike, I could reach the top without stand up. And yeah, then he said, okay, you could be, may have a talent. And so that was a start that I'm started with mountain biking, and was not very bad in the use, but not so good. And then I had a problem. I've got a lung, where you breathe with what organ is it?
Yeah, it's your lung.
My lung. I had a hole inside. And so I have to go out of the sports for some years, and then I started with 20 years with playing football, and I didn't know that that could be so hard, playing football. And that was the reason why I started with running. And from my sister, the boyfriend's, he needed a training partner, and he knows, he's a good guy. He was a good guy in mountain biking. Maybe he could train me for the marathon. And then he picked me up sometimes and said, come on, let us train a little bit together. And tell me something about how you train really, how to train smart. And then that was the reason why I started with running, because I had much fun with him when I was running. Some years I just was a runner then afterwards. And just only running, no biking and so on. And I was very often injured, and so I started with biking. And biking and running together. And so another friend took me and said to me, hey, you have to do a duathlon. And that was the start of my real duathlon, triathlon career.
That's amazing. Do you sometimes wish you had started earlier? I mean, you said you haven't been around the game for that long, only 3 years, but do you sometimes wish that you had started when you were younger?
Yeah, exactly, because I love this sport, and that would be great to be a pro. My problem is that I learned swimming just with 31 years. Before that I couldn't crawl, and I have to definitely start from the point zero. And when I had started in the youth with swimming, I think that would be much more easier to do good races.
You talk about turning pro, Christian, and I think one of the big questions that's come out of Kona 2016 was just the strength of German triathlon, and particularly, I mean, if you look at the pros as an example, I mean, the top three, all German. You got four out of the top five, and another German in the top ten. So you're basically sitting with half of the top ten on the men's side of things, all from Germany. What do you think is the reason for that? Why is it that Germany's producing so many good triathletes right now?
In Germany, the triathlon is very popular. That's one reason. And when you want to win a little triathlon here in Germany, you have to be really tough. And so the level is very high. And we didn't have actually a good triathlete in the sprint distance or in the Olympic distance. The focus is on the long distance races, and that's the reason why everybody wants to go to do the long distance races in Germany. And so the fastest guys always have their focus on the long distance races, from the youth up.
It's incredible.
That's the reason why we are so good at Kona this year.
It's amazing. And I mean, we talk about the pros, but also the first age group at home was Lucas Kramer from Germany as well. Obviously, you won your age group. I want to know what's in your water. There must be something in the water in Germany. Geez, I think we all need to come and train there.
No, I don't think so. We have something in the water. I think we have got some good conditions here as well, yeah. And, I couldn't say that's the one point why the Germans are actually so fast. I think the other triathlon nations will come in the next years and, go in Kona and have good races. I think it's just a couple of years. That's the reason that the Germans are so good like this year.
I was going to say, even though Jan Frodeno is German, he spent quite a bit of time in South Africa, so we're going to claim him as ours as well, so we can share him, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I was two times in South Africa, and I love this country. For me, it's okay.
Christian, let's talk about sort of getting better at this thing and really knuckling down and getting good. You've obviously got ability, and you've realized that now, but getting the balance right of putting in enough hours to get better as a triathlete, particularly an age group. You're not in an easy age group. You're the 35 to 39. There's lots of competition there. It sort of gets a bit harder once you hit the 40s as well. How do you get the balance right of work and family and getting enough training in and just so that you are almost leading a normal life? Although I don't know, as a triathlete and an Ironman triathlete, if there is such a thing as normal.
Well, how to do it? Yeah, and I think one of the main points is that the sport is a typical part of your life. Yeah, that you don't have to think, oh, I have to train, or did I want to train, or did I not want to train? You have to do it at your normal. It must be normal in your day. Yeah. And I always run to my work and run back from the work from the office back to home. And I have to, and swimming I will often do before the working. So that's the reason, well, that's how I do it on my own. Yeah, I've trained before the work and sometimes after the work. And that's one of the things that you have to integrate it into your day.
As far as sort of climate goes, you mentioned Germany's a great place to train. The winters can get very brutal as well. We were talking before we started recording that you're going into your off season now, and then you obviously tick over. You keep training, but you're not really training for a specific race, or are you? How do you sort of deal with the off season? What sort of training do you put in now for the next couple of months?
So now I'm really in the off season. I just train how I have fun, but I will start at the 1st of December with the focus of the new season. And yeah, I train very often cycling at home before the TV. Yeah, that's a great place. I don't like it to train cycling when I'm too freezy, yeah. That's something I don't like. I can, running is no problem, and swimming, of course, is inside, yeah. But that's one of the points how I do it in the winter. And when you have your early race in Europe in this season, you definitely have to go to the south of Europe and do a training camp. That's very, very, wichtig. I don't know the English word.
It's beneficial. I mean, it's obviously advantageous because of the weather. Do you do most of your training on your own? You talk about the camps, and obviously in Europe there's lots of them, particularly as you say in the south of Europe where it's slightly warmer than possibly further north. Do you train with a triathlon group, or do you do most of your stuff on your own?
I have the big advantage that Ron Prosley's lives here in just only 1 kilometer from me away. That's Jan Raphael. He's double times vice European champion at Frankfurt, and yeah, I could call him around all around the clock and say, "Yeah, come on, let's train this," and yeah, he's one of the points that I could motivate on my own, especially in the winter, and yeah, that's very well.
Christian, let's talk about the reason for doing an Ironman. It's you spoke about doing duathlon, and you spoke about the strength of German triathlon, particularly on the longer sort of things. What was your thinking? Why have you gravitated towards the longer stuff, like the Ironman?
Oh well, I think I feel that the long distance races are my that's my part, yeah, and because when we are doing long training days, I think I could, especially in the last two hours from long cycling ride, then I'm very strong, and I felt it very fast, so I know, okay, when you want to reach something, you have to go to the long distance races, and I like it to go training for a long bike ride and so on. So that's how I know very fast. So I have to go to the long distance races, and I think the Ironman especially is the ultimate competition against yourself, yeah? And especially in Germany, everybody says, okay, you're doing triathlon, oh, what's your Ironman time? And yeah, the focus in Germany is very, very hard to the long distance races. And yeah, when the focus is there and you know, okay, you're strange at the long distance races, then it's very clear the way to an Ironman. And I think it's just the Ironman is the ultimate competition to yourself. Mm. Then that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do it on my own.
Christian, as far as choosing races goes, there are lots of races in Europe, and if you look at the size of Europe compared to, let's say, North America as an example, there's lots of races in North America, but they are spread quite a way across the country, whereas in Europe there's lots of races in a fairly close-ish sort of space. How do you go about choosing which races you want to race? Is it a case of finding ones that are maybe a bit faster and flatter because that's what suits you, or is it a case of going and finding ones with more hills like Nice in France as an example? How do you choose your or set up your race calendar?
Yeah, last year I started at Mallorca, and I know that one thing is I wanted to do a Ironman in the second half of the season. That was one thing, how I could come to Mallorca. And the other thing was I want to do a race, a hot race, yeah. I like the heat, and and the course should be very hilly. That's the other thing what I wanted to do, because I'm a good climber at the bike. And yeah, then the races... the race was nearly clear that I want to go to Mallorca, because I was there two times ago in the training camp, and I love this island. I know that you can do around the race a little bit of holiday, so the choose of Mallorca was nearly clear for me very fast.
As far as the amount of Ironman races you can do in a year, what do you think is your ideal? How many is the right number for you?
Sorry, could you ask me again the question?
The right, like, how many full Ironman races can you do in one season? I mean, how many is too much for you? How many is just right?
Oh, before Kona, I did no Ironman race because, yeah, I qualified myself at Mallorca in the September, and that was the slot was for Kona at the next year. So I talked with my coach what I should do, and she said, "Oh, that's a great present that you don't have to be to do an Ironman as an age grouper before Kona, because you're very fit. You have to look the whole season just to Kona. Every race that you choose is just with the focus of Kona, and that's the reason why I was last year. Well, this year I just only do one Ironman, and the year therefore also I just one Ironman. So, and yeah, in 2017 I think I will only just do one Ironman, and yeah, at the winner of the World Championships I'm qualified for the next year, so I will next year go to Kona as well and do no long distance race before.
Do you think age groupers race too much, that they are racing full Ironmans too often?
I think two Ironmans are okay in the year, but not more. When we aren't pros, and our training kilometers are not so much like the pros, so we have to give our body a little bit more of regeneration, and that's the reason why I think that two Ironmans are enough in one season.
Christian, I normally ask what people are most proud of, one achievement, and I'm guessing for you it's your age group winning in Kona in 2016. Other than that, what else are you proud of as far as your triathlon career is concerned?
I think I'm very proud of that I'm come every time back here. I had a hole in my lung in the youth, but I come back. I had two broken bones in my leg after a marathon, but I come back. I had a very hard virus, the EBV, I don't know how it's called in English, and everybody said to me, okay, now your career is over, you are over 30 years old, now it's enough for you. And every time I come back, and especially mentally, I come back stranger, and that's the one thing between the Kona win that I'm very proud of.
Do you think it's coming back like that is a mental thing, that it's a decision that you want to come back and drive yourself back, and that's what keeps you, and that's, like you say, it's the mental side of it that keeps you strong. Do you think that is what gives you the edge?
Yes, I think that was the thing that I'm why I'm at the Kona winner. Yeah, I had the last 12 kilometers in Kona were very, very hard, and I had great pain, and yeah, that's because I'm mentally strong. That was the reason why I could. I don't run slower and slower and slower like the others. But yeah, that's the reason why I could do it.
Christian, I love your splits in Kona in 2016. I think it's you mentioned you had the perfect race. Obviously, there were one or two things that maybe didn't go according to plan. But just to give people an idea of what you did, I mean, you swam a 57:39. So you came out of the water and you were 52nd in your age group, 305th overall. Off the bike, you were 8th in your age group, 68th overall. And then after the run, you were first. So you literally, all day, you probably didn't get passed once by anyone. It was just, once you got out of the water, that was it. It was, not that you were playing catch-up, but you paced the perfect race.
Yeah, I think I know my body very well, and that's the reason why I paced well. And some guys overtake me at the bike, and I said, "Whoa, what are they doing here for a crazy pace?" Yeah, and one of them was a training colleague of me, and he said to me, "Oh, I was in the transition area, and I was the race was over." He knows it, yeah. And I come to the transition point, and I said, "Okay, now we can go to running," and that's the difference, and that's one of the main reasons why I'm very fast at the running.
That's incredible. Looking at your triathlon career over the years, what would you say has been your biggest disappointment, and what have you learned from it?
Oh, last year I won the 70.3 World Championship, and they told me afterwards I did drafting, and but I didn't draft and I didn't get a penalty, so that was the biggest disappointment, because I had nothing do wrong there at this race, and there was no referee who told me I have to go to the penalty box. Yeah, when I will get a penalty, I will go to the box. There's no discussion for me. And I was the first over the finish line, and then they told me afterwards, after a few hours, "Oh, you are now disqualified," and I didn't know how that comes. And that's one, not only my story, that's the story of nearly 80 other guys at this race, so there must be something wrong. But that was the biggest disappointment for me. Yeah, and that was something that I did. Why I'm driving, I'm traveling to Mallorca this year to Kona with a little bit angry. Yeah, and that was an extra mental effect.
a bit of a point to prove, I'm sure. Christian, let's talk about drafting. There's been a few pictures from Kona 2016 on that bike where, I mean, there were massive packs, particularly in the age group race. And I think where you came out of the water, I think it is around that sort of spot where most of the athletes are coming out between 55 minutes and an hour. It's difficult on that course with so many good athletes to not get caught up in bunches on the bike. What are your thoughts on it? Is there a way to fix it, or is that just what it is in the sport and we need to deal with it?
Well, I think I had a referee nearly 60 kilometers just only a few minutes before or behind me or directly to me, and I had a very fair race, I could say, but just because of that, there was the whole time a referee next to me. And when I come back from Harvey, I saw the groups coming up, and I saw, "Oh God, what is that? I don't want that they catch me," and so I have to bike harder from Harvey to Kona as I want to. But I think it's a very big problem, and when you have so much starters in this field, and they are, especially in Kona, they are coming out of the water around about 55 minutes to an hour five, yeah. So the first 10, 15 kilometers, you just have to overtake the whole time, and there's no chance to do a fair race in the first 50 minutes. But afterwards, for me, I could say that was a very fair race, because there was the whole time a referee directly near to me. Yeah, and I could say how you could change that. I think that is a very big problem, and you can only fight it with more referees, and they have to be very hard in their decisions.
Absolutely.
I think only then you can do a fair race.
Absolutely. And something else that's starting to plague the sport is obviously doping as well. And it's becoming more and more prevalent, particularly in the age group ranks. Your thoughts on dopers and the bans that dopers are getting? Are you a fan of lifetime bans, or do you think that the sport's doing enough to eradicate the sport of people who are doping?
Yeah, that was something that I'm surprised about, because last year in ZLMZ and in some other races here in Germany, I have to go to the doping control, and at the age group victory at Kona, there wasn't they just controlled the pros. I think, everybody wants to have a fair race, and one of the part is today that you have to do a non-a doped race. So that was something that surprised me, that nobody of the age group but nobody that I know. Maybe there were some controls, but I think that's, that was a surprise for me, that nobody would be controlled.
That's interesting indeed. The goal for Kona 2017, how do you top what you did this year? Is it, do you go with the same plan, or are you going to change things? How does it work from here, Christian?
Well, the plan is that I'm come back to Kona as strong as I was this year. And I hope that I don't have a bike crash 2 weeks before like this year, and then I want to do a very well race like this year, and what the result is we will see in 2017. I don't like it to say, okay, I'm the defender of the title, and so I want to win, and I will win. That is not my lane where I want to go. I think there are so many details which have to be
sorted out. Yeah,
which sorted out. Yeah, and that's the thing. I just want to do a good race, a very good race, and when I'm fit, the result will be. Yeah, will be well as like this year. I hope so.
I'm guessing the goal is to try and go under 9 hours next year, though. And if that's good enough to be the world champion once again, then so be it.
Yeah, that would be great. But I think especially Kona isn't a race which you can't plan. It's so hard with the conditions, the wind, the heat, and the area it's a place for doing sports like no other, I think, and that's the reason why you can't plan Kona and say, okay, 8:95 is the goal for next year. But yes, of course I'm hungry as well, and I want to go to Kona, and it would be so great to do an 8 hours and 59 minutes race. Yeah,
I'm sure, and that's one of the things that makes that island so great. Christian, thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge today. Much appreciated. I look forward to chatting to you about your swim, your bike, and your run, and your nutrition. But we'll save that for our next chat. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.